we're going to finish up a message that I started last week, and I titled it MVP, the Most Valuable Player. This is part two. Last week, I dealt with the M and the P in the MVP. M stood for mission. We believe in missions, amen? And the P stands for power, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that we need Him in our life. Missions is for all of us to share the good news, the gospel, to all people everywhere. Even to do personal world evangelism. We should do it at home and abroad, wherever we are. Amen? But church, to do that effectively, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so it makes us bold to be witnesses as God calls us to be. Last week, I shared these three points with you, that we need to wait on the promise that gives power to the believer for the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus. Today, I want to talk to you, though, about the V in the MVP. V is for value. The bottom line is this: people are valuable. Say that with me this morning. I don't know what this means, but I'll say it with meaning. Let's see what comes out with now. People, sometimes just a little more boisterous voice in that causes us to realize people are valuable. People are valuable. To really catch the heart of that, in Luke chapter 15, Luke records three parables for us that Jesus gives to help us understand the value of people who are lost. Luke 15, I'm going to read several verses, so it's not to bore you, but I believe the Word of God has power, and I believe if we'll let it speak to us and you will hear it and take it in, then it will sharpen your life. Amen? Luke 15, beginning at verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of this estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Heavenly Father, what great stories for us to learn from. Heavenly Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to the direction of the Holy Spirit as you teach us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, this message is to try to help us understand the value of people and hopefully even challenge us to take on our responsibility for reaching the lost in our world. In all three of the parables that are given, something of value is lost, whether it was a sheep or a coin or even a lost person. Each one has incredible value. Each story is there to teach us the value of those who actually belong to God but have been lost. The term lost here is referring to those who are not in relationship with God. Those who are outside of the household of faith, who need to be found or need to come home to Jesus. I believe that the point of this passage is primarily to remind us of how we should respond to the lost. I want to take a moment and share three things with you this morning in order for us to reach the lost. And the first thing is actually found in the setting that the parables take place in. The other two are found more in the parables themselves. Let me go back and read Luke 15, 1 and 2 to you. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Number one is this: the first thing needed for reaching the lost is compassion. I find it interesting in this passage that Jesus had tax collectors and sinners gathering around him. In fact, these are lost people listening to him. They are not running from Jesus, but rather running to him. They were not avoiding him. They were not ignoring him. They weren't even hostile toward him. Verse 1, in fact, another translation says, often they came to listen to Jesus. Why were sinners so willing and even eager to hear what Jesus had to say? Surely it was not because he had a message that was going to tickle their ears. It wasn't because Jesus compromised on sin and said that everything you're doing is acceptable. None of that. So why did the lost seek out Jesus rather than run from him? I believe the answer is simply his compassion. Church, we need compassion for lost people. There are so many issues that what the world wants to use to divide us from them, yet we should be full of compassion. See, Jesus loved people, had compassion, and he showed that love with a compassionate heart, not a condemning heart. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that Jesus welcomed sinners and eats with them. One of the definitions in the term in the Greek here for the word welcome is to companionship, to receive someone as a dear friend. This was Jesus' attitude toward those who were lost. Jesus welcomed them. He was compassionate, accepted them despite all their sin and their failures. He was a friend, not a foe. For us as individuals and us corporately as a church, if we're going to reach lost people, we're going to have to show compassion. We're going to show that same love and that acceptance that Jesus did, but we never, ever need to compromise the truth, church. Let me illustrate it through an illustration this way. Has anybody ever been in an accident? You've had a car accident? I'm sorry that you did, but you know what it's like. How many have ever observed an accident? Have you ever observed one taking place? How many have watched them after they've taken place? You're going down the road and you see it, and it's like you can't not look. You want to find out what's going on. At the scene of an accident, besides those who were in the accident, there are three groups of people. The first group is the bystanders, the onlookers. They have curiosity in them. They're watching to see what, or trying to figure out what did happen, or watching to see what will happen. And they have little, though, activity actually involvement in what's taking place. They just watch. There's a second group. They are the police officers. They are there to investigate the cause of the accident. They're also there to assign blame to somebody. Aren't you glad for our policemen? Church ought to be praying for our civil leaders. Amen. And they were there to assign blame and give out the appropriate warnings and the punishment that's needed because of the accident that may have been caused. There's a third group. It's the paramedics. They are the people who are usually the most welcomed by those that were involved in the accident. In fact, because they could care less whose fault it was, their response is to help those who have been hurt, to bandage up the wounds, to free up those who may be trapped, or to give words of encouragement. It's going to be okay. Three groups. One is completely uninvolved, just gazing. One is assigning blame. And one is helping the hurting. I wonder, in the lives of the lost people around us, which group are you in? These people have been hurt by life. They've been somehow damaged in the accidents that the enemy has caused in their life. Are you just looking to see what the outcome is going to be? Or are you assessing the blame of what they did? And, oh, if they only would have not done that. Or are you the paramedic, there to help bind up the wounds? See, when it comes to reaching the lost and the hurting, we're going to be in one of those three groups. Uninvolved, letting others do the work, or condemning them for their foolish behavior, or are we reaching out and helping those who are lost and hurting? Listen, it's interesting to me that lost people have never flocked to condemning people. Never. Church, we cannot be those who are uninvolved. We cannot be those that are condemning. We have to be those who show compassion. The first thing we need to do to reach the lost is to be compassionate, church. Secondly, the second thing for reaching the lost is effort. Let me start with this one with another illustration. How many have children in here? How many have ever lost a child in a store? Not as many. I commend the rest of you parents. I am doing a parenting thing in 2 months. I need your help because, unfortunately, Tammy and I have left our children, sometimes at church. Sometimes we've left them in the backyard of a friend's house when we all left. We did not do our count in the car. And we have lost our children in a store. Several years ago, Tammy and I were at the mall. We were actually in JCPenney over here I just lost the name of our mall, 12 Oaks Mall. And we were in the JCPenney, and as we're in there, all of a sudden we're kind of getting ready to go, and we notice one of the childs are not there. The children's, I know. Children, childs. By the way, something we learned is when we had 2 children, we could do man-on-man defense. 6 kids, it's zone, you know. You just kind of, I got that, you cover that area. Well, the zone defense didn't work that day, and we realized our youngest son, Addison, was missing. I was a little frantic, probably beyond normal, but we couldn't find him. And here we are at the mall, and of course, at the mall, the worst thoughts began going through my mind. Anyway, we began looking for him, and he would love, when we were in stores, we knew this, he loved to hide inside the clothes rack, get behind, in between all the clothes. So we started there with the clothes racks and began to look in corners and anywhere we could think. We sent a couple of the kids outside of the store to see if he started wandering off somewhere. Fortunately, it wasn't long. We did find him, but it was scary for the moment. Now, understand, I have 5 other children, but never once did I say, we lost 1 child. We got 5 others. Everything's okay. No worries. So we already got 5 more to take care of. It'll be all right. Why? 1 child mattered. 1 child. Do we understand the value of 1? The point is, it took effort for us to find Addison. We had to pour because he was valuable to our family. And church, it's going to take that same kind of diligent seeking and passion in our hearts to really say we recognize that one is lost. In the first two parables, Jesus emphasizes the effort that went into finding the lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus said the shepherd would leave the 99, remember that, sheep in the open country and go after the lost sheep. In the parable of the lost coin, the woman lights a lamp and sweeps the whole house, searches carefully until she finds the lost coin. Church, I want people to be saved. And we're going to have to put effort into finding the lost. How do you practically do the principle? First of all, church, I think one of the most important things we do is pray. A significant part of our prayers ought to be saying, God, help save the lost of this world. Help us find the lost. Lord, I pray for laborers. I want more laborers to go into the field. God, would you give me the opportunity of reaching the lost? But also, church, practically, we do this through missions here at home and abroad. Missions has got to stay meaningful in our lives. We cannot just say, well, I love to come to church. I love to be discipled. I love the activities. I love the events. I love the worship. I love the preaching. I love this. I love that. But what about loving lost people? What about the one? People are valuable. And personally, we need to understand that wherever we are, we have a personal evangelistic world we ought to be ministering to. I call it personal world evangelism. Looking for those who are lost where we are. Being careful to not just be a spectator, right? Being careful not to be a condemner, but to be compassionate and willing to put great effort into finding those who are lost. I'll be honest with you, though. Let me ask this question. Raise your hand if this is true of you. How many know of someone who is lost? Hold your hands up for a moment. Look around the room, everybody. Look up in the balcony. Because y'all don't ever look up there. Those under the balcony, I know you can't see them. Church, how hard is it to find the lost? Not hard at all. But do we have compassion? Or have we just been the onlookers? Or have we been the condemners? Or is it time now to be the paramedics and step into their lives with great compassion and help heal up their wounds? A third thing necessary for us reaching the lost is this. A third thing needed to reach is persistence. Luke 15, verse 20, the last verse I read to you says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Church, I do understand that it's not usually the case that our first efforts of trying to win the lost are successful. It's not just that compassion is enough. Sometimes it takes years and years of being persistent. Church, I encourage you, never give up. And never get discouraged. I love the effort and concern that Jesus tells us that we should have over a sheep and a coin. Because he thought they were valuable enough to be persistent and look for them. But this last parable of a lost son clearly defines the value of those who are spiritually lost. Church, we can never give up on the souls of people. We need to be persistent. Like the father who was awaiting his son's homecoming, was able to notice his son coming home even when he was a long ways off. There may be those who in your family or in your workplace that seem to be a long way off, but they may be heading in your direction. Are you full of compassion? Like the father, ready and waiting for them to come home? Or are we beating them up along the way? This father was somehow persistent and patient enough and ready enough to receive his son when his son was ready to come home. You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were indifferent toward the lost. They didn't mean anything to them. But Jesus uses three stories, three parables, to illustrate how wrong their hearts were. They were all rejoicing over 99. Yet the Father cared about the one. And somehow the religious group lost the importance of the value of people. How many remember the story of Zacchaeus? Has anyone never heard the story of Zacchaeus? He's a wee little man in the little song that we sing. Somehow he was short, wanted to see Jesus, climbed up in a tree to get his sights on Jesus coming through town. But let me read a portion of the story in Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus and all the stories of throughout the entire Bible, it's all pointing to saving the lost. Jesus points out that the one thing that matters most to God is the lost. In fact, they matter so much to God that when the lost are found, that even if one of them are found, all of heaven rejoices and throws a party. In the story of the lost sheep, we read, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." In the story of the lost coin, "In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In the story of the lost son, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. If lost people matter this much to God, shouldn't they matter that much to us? Aren't we God's people? Shouldn't we be willing to give up everything needed in order to reach the lost? Do we understand the value of a lost soul? Church, I believe we do. And that's why we do missions the way we do. We're going to soon be going to Cuba with a group of men. And you need to be thinking about this. We need construction men to go. And we're going to build a church in Cuba. A door has opened for something, for the gospel to be preached. And church, we need to take advantage of those opportunities. Church, I want to thank you for all the many years that you have given. Some have been here giving to missions year after year after year. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for what you're doing now. This past year, we gave over $240,000 in missions. Thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you. One of our churches in Lansing Mount Hope, one of our Assembly of God churches, they give over $1 million to missions every year. They run about 2,000 people. I kind of did the numbers. I'm just like, well, Lord, we run about 400 to 500 there. And you know what? I want you to know you're doing as well as them when it comes to when you compare to the percentages of our giving. Church, thank you. Because sometimes we can look at the amount and lose sight of what we are doing. Church, you are being faithful. In fact, this year for Speed the Light, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'll announce it right now. I guess it is semi-public, but we are number 3 in the state for for our Speed the Light giving this year. Amen. And church, we want to continue to do these things and reach out. But church, I guess it comes to the place now, it says, what are we going to do now? And what are we going to do tomorrow? You see, we're doing missions because there are some 2,000 missionaries in the Assemblies of God. This church supports over 70 of them that are on the field. Wouldn't it be great to take on all 2,000 of them and say, every missionary we give to? That would be a big stretch for us right now. But that's why I'm asking us to consider living by faith. See, so many times we've lived according to our bank accounts and we've lost sight of walking in faith. Are you really willing to get out of the boat like Peter and walk on water? I know you go with water, it's not stable enough. It is when Jesus is with you. Church, I want us to consider what we can do in the days ahead that we have not done. Wouldn't it be great? I don't know if this will or won't happen, and I won't be depressed if it doesn't. But wouldn't it be great to give over 3,000 or 300,000 next year in missions? Why not? You say, well, it's going to come out of my pocketbook. You're right. But how important, how invaluable is a lost soul? See, we do missions at home and abroad. We have missionaries on the EMU campus. We have missionaries on the Michigan campus. We have missionaries on State's campus. We have missionaries in Dearborn right now who are ministering this morning the gospel to the Muslim community in Dearborn. Missionaries right here at home. We have also missionaries right now, the Dietrichs that are in China. We have missionaries all over this world. We have the Mackaysis in Lithuania, the Webers in Europe. We have that right out of our church because we have sent them and provided for them to do what God's called them to do. For us to continue to do that, I'm asking you to make a faith promise this morning. Now understand, I'm not going to hound you. If you mark this and you say, well, that's what I'm going to give, I'm not going to follow you all year long saying, you haven't quite met your commitment yet. Because this is between you and the Lord. But it helps me to budget. It helps me to dream. It helps me and Pastor Scott to say, what can we do for these missionaries who come to us? It helps us to understand so we can kind of budget and dream for what God wants to do in the days ahead. The money I'm talking about here is for general missions, to help support the missionaries that we all go. Many of you give mission dollars already. You're sending them to national headquarters, or you give specifically to a missionary. I'm not talking about those dollars. I'm talking about our general dollars because I want to be able to do more as a church that we can. It's decided this way. There's two parts to it. It's perforated so that you can fill out the one part, drop it in, and you can keep the small part in your Bible as your reminder of what you want to do. This week, I received a card early on this week. One of our young people got so excited. I don't know if they just missed it. They said, I'm going to turn mine in. And they turned it in, and I have it today to drop in. I'm not going to give you their name, but as they wrote it, they wrote $8 per month. $8 per month. Church, that's $96 throughout this year that they're going to give. I'm proud of them. That's $2 a week. They might need some babysitting, anybody, you know, whatever you can do. But church, I'm telling you, our young people are on board with this because we're going to do missions. Because why? People are valuable. You say, what's the most valuable player? Well, all of us are. But have you ever thought about the one who will get saved could be one of the most valuable players? See, we would put Billy Graham probably among our belief system as one of our great, most valuable players. But he wasn't always saved. But when he got saved, he became one of our most valuable players. Church, we have a lot of valuable players out there, and you're one of them. Because I need you to do personal world evangelism, because nobody else is where you are. This morning, I want to, before we receive this offering, and I'll explain that in a moment, I want to introduce someone to you who is going on the mission field for a month. You may know her, you may not know her, but this is Eden Voss. We call her Edie. She likes to be called Edie. Where are you? There she is. Would you come forward? I want you to hear a part of her story. I'm going to just kind of interview and just walk us through this so you can hear. Edie, you're going to be going to Italy for a month.
Yes.
Don't you have a job?
Yes.
What are you doing about the job? What are they doing for you?
They've arranged time off for me so I could go.
A whole month. You tell me, I'm kind of like, church, I got to go away for a month. I hope everything goes well, but I'm being called, right? But church, in a secular world, they have arranged this so she could go do missions for a month to Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, how's your Italian?
I'm working on it.
Working on it. She's actually going right now to Schoolcraft and taking Italian classes.
Yes.
But tell me how this came about.
Well, a little over a year ago from this last December, Pastor Rick Pasquale came and spoke at Northville Christian. God had laid it upon his heart and his wife, Jennifer, to go pastor the church in Rome. International Christian Fellowship is the name of it. And he gave a call at the end of it that if God moved upon your heart or if he was speaking to you or you wanted to help or volunteer, he's like, let him know. And that's exactly the moment when God moved upon my heart and my spirit and spoke to me and said, I want you to go. And I was like, what? And he spoke again. He goes, no, this is it. I want you to go and help them. Go help them. So I'll be leaving in May to go and help them.
She'll be over there serving with some also missionary associates as well as the missionaries for a whole month. She's had to raise funds. She's asked others to help her. She's just a few hundred dollars short.
Yes.
And so I'm believing that God's going to raise that up. And he'll provide.
Nice.
He's good. And he who calls enables.
Yes.
He provides.
Oh, I need two cat sitters, too.
And need somebody to sit two cats. You might need a house sitter or a cat sitter as well. Those are the things to take care of in life. But she's willing to do this. Someone right out of our congregation. You say, Lord, how can this work? That's what you were asking a year ago.
Yes.
But God has worked it all out.
Yes.
Because of a willing heart, because of lost people that he knows about that you haven't even met yet.
Yes.
But he needs you there or God wouldn't call. Church, we respond sometimes, and this is truly in faith. I'm sure her Italian is not up to complete par, but she's trying. Amen. She's willing. She's making efforts. The effort, persistence, all because of compassion. And so, church, I wanted you to meet her today. And, in fact, in a few moments, I'm going to introduce a few others to you. But I want to pray for her. And then we're going to receive this offering. And then I'm going to close by, there's a group of people I want us to pray for this morning. And I'm excited about that. But let me pray for you first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing in and through Edie as part of our church, Lord. It's even us. We send her. We release her to the things of God. And Lord, I ask you for an anointing, even a special anointing to be upon her life. Lord, to help her with the language. But Lord, that when she steps onto that ground, Lord, she will have a confirmation of what you have called her to do. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. For when you call, we will go. Amen. Amen. Edie, one more question. If the Lord called you in the full-time ministry on the heels of this, what would happen?
I would go.
Now, I did not catch her off guard in asking this. We've talked. The church is easy for us to sometimes, well, yeah, I'm going to follow him. But she's made real steps to say, Lord, I'm listening to your voice. And when the shepherd calls, I'll respond. So thank you for doing that. Would you just congratulate her, love her? Amen. If someone does want to help complete those dollars for her, she has been approved by our board because she's going as an Assemblies of God volunteer missionary. and you could give to her, and we have an account for that, so you could give to her and help her out. This morning, I'm going to ask our ushers to make themselves ready. Here's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Worship team is coming. I'm asking you to fill this out. You will tear this part out. But I ask you, I told you we're also receiving an offering this morning for Speed the Light, which will go to Jared Dietrich's vehicle. This morning, we're going to receive that tangible offering, and we will put those dollars and we'll put them toward. But you say, well, I wasn't prepared for that today, and I want to help. I want to be a part. If you are willing to be a part, I'm going to ask you to flip your card over. You can write Jared's name here, or you can write China. And then I want you to write the amount that you're willing to give over the next 2 months. We have 2 months remaining to raise this. If you're able to give and support, it will tell me, hey, that's coming. And I can say, we've met that need. Young people, this is not letting you off the hook. You are part of it. Church, I appreciate when you help support a cause or Speed the Light, which is our young people. But I'm telling you, young people, this doesn't put you off the hook. You need to do your part because of the valuable people yet to be reached in China. And I'm going to ask you to just flip it over. And on the back of this, write Jared, and then write whatever amount you're able to give over the next few months. In that giving, here's how I need you to give that, though. Next Sunday, let's say you arrive, and you said, I'm going to give $20, and you give five of it next week. I need you on the envelope to write Jared's name. I need you to write his name so I make sure that $5 goes toward Speed the Light. If you just put in $5, it will go to our general fund. And I need you to be specific. It's a lot of instructions, but can you handle that? You're all right with that? Because we want to meet that need. Just a little less than $5,000, we can complete this project. And that will be a $30,000 project met in a year and a half. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning as we give these, we give them in faith. Lord, we present them saying, God, use me to do global missions, but also use me to do local missions. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I pray we will step up to everything you call us to in the days ahead for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. We're just going to lift this song.
Go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I'll love. When you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
Receive a faith promise. I should have asked this earlier. The ushers do have them. You can drop this off also at the information desk. If you didn't drop it in the offering, that's fine. But we'll receive those. We'll tally. We'll bring you a report next week. And we're just believing God to do great things. Now, I have a joyful thing in my heart that's happening. And I've asked some of our youth this. I kind of went to them. And Pastor Scott, would you come and join me for a moment? I was kind of wondering, are any of our young people sensing a call to ministry? And so I asked Pastor Scott a couple weeks ago to say, let's see if there's anybody. And we had talked about it. But before I go there, I think something's really cool. Did you know that Pastor Scott came out of this church and went into full-time ministry? Yeah. So many times I know our ministers come from all over in different places and this and that, and even will come from Florida. But God raises up people from within. And I want to invite all of our young people who are sensing a call to full-time ministry to come and join me right now. Come on. Let me go one more step. There are others who are sensing a call. Edie, you need to join us again. Did she slip out yet? Where's she at? She went up. Okay. But there may be others who are sensing a call. I'd like you to join us also. Is there anyone else who's sensing a call to full-time ministry? Anybody? Maybe a short-term? Is there any short-termers? All right. That's okay. What happens many times in our lives, and like Edie, I think, is a great example, is God can call you later on in life as well. It doesn't have to be young. But I wanted to celebrate this morning because I want you to look at what God is doing. So, Pastor Scott, I just want you to take the mic quickly through. I want you to tell me what God is calling you to, and we're going to walk through it. So here we go.
I'm going to write Christian children's books in English and in Spanish. There's, like, no market for Christian books in Spanish, so it's going to be kind of a bridge there.
Amen.
I'm going to be a missionary to the Philippines.
A missionary to the Philippines. Amen.
I would like to teach English somewhere in Europe, expand a ministry there.
And we talked about that. He's feeling a call. He wants to prepare himself in English, go to Europe as a missionary, but get into the English system and begin to be a missionary with the gospel as he lives there.
I'd like to go into full-time youth ministry.
Full-time music ministry? Youth ministry.
Christian music ministry.
Christian music ministry.
Children's pastor.
Children's pastor.
Missionary to India to work with children out of human trafficking.
Wow, missionary to India.
I want to write Christian fiction books as well as be a photojournalist in the Middle East.
Wow.
Missions and medical missions.
Missions and medical missions.
Pastor of church, more specifically, simply Pastor Matt's job. But
he wants Pastor Matt's job. I met with many of these before today because here's something I told them. I know God's moving in your heart right now. And even though I may call you forward, I'm not going to sit here and hold you to everything you say because I know God changes and works in our lives in times. But church, this is what I do want to do. Everything they're sensing in their hearts, I want to be a church that stands behind them and supports them. These are our young people that God is moving and ministering through and wanting to use in missions and in full-time ministry. Whether writing books or being a missionary, these are the ones that are yet to come. We celebrate three right now that have been risen out of our congregation over 70 years. I want you to see what God is doing in these days. It's not to lessen what God has done and the ministry and all the pastors that have gone out from here. But church, God is moving. And He is using our church. That's why I say we are doing missions. I'm not sitting here to condemn you, but I am here to stir you. Because church, there is more to be done. When you lifted your hands earlier, I'm telling you, tears almost came to my eyes because that tells me there's a lot of lost people out there. But we have been called to go and find them and bring them home and love them with the compassion of the Lord. Oh, we'll preach truth. We will preach righteousness and holiness, but I'm telling you, we will love like Jesus loves. Amen? Amen. I want to pray over you. This is how we're going to close. I want you to come down here. Pastor Scott, I want you to pray. But church, I want you to gather around them this morning. We're going to hover over them, believing for the things of God. Would you spread out a little bit? All the way down that way, down this way. Somebody got to stay in the middle. All right. And church, we're going to believe for a move of God in their lives. Amen? Amen. And a move in the world today, wherever you go. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you this morning for just these youth that stand in front of me. And Lord, I just pray over their lives, Lord, as you are working in them and you're stirring them to something great. Father God, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just begin to drop visions into their minds of the things that are to come, Lord. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that those in this room, Lord, whether siblings, parents, adults, children, Father God, Lord, that we would encourage them to continue walking in the exact things that you have for them and have for their lives. Lord, that they would do some amazing ministry for you, Lord, that because of them, people who don't know you will know you. Lord, that people that are hurting will feel their burdens lifted. Lord, I just pray that the compassion that it will pour out of them will impact a generation, Father God, the world, so that people can know who you are. And Lord, I just even then will turn that and pray for everyone else that is in this room. Lord, I just pray that just in the case of Eden, Lord, that we are never too young, we are never too old, Father God, to do ministry, to do what you have called us to do. So Lord, I pray for every single individual in this room, Lord, that you would call them to greater things than they have ever done before. Lord, that you would just move in their lives, Father God, whether it's here, whether it's on the other side of the country or it's on the other side of the world, Lord, that this church would be a church that puts you first, that puts you far above any desire of our own heart. Lord, that we would put you first in the place that you belong in, Father God. Lord, that whether it's through dollars or whether it's through going, Lord, that this world will be impacted because of the work that is going on in this church. Lord, I thank you what has happened over the past years. But Lord, I'm more excited about what is about to happen coming out of this church, because I believe you're going to do mighty things through these youth, through the children that are upstairs right now, through the adults that are in this room as well. Father God, Lord, I pray, move in this church, move in our lives, Lord, so that we will move out of here and impact this world for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So church, let's go do the mission. Amen. And have a Jesus